Great for singing that. I appreciate you coming out with me with us in this evening service. Take your Bibles now and turn with me to the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea, that's in the latter part of the Old Testament. You've got a Scofield Bible. It's page 929. Hosea chapter 14 is right before the book of Joel, amen, and right after the book of Daniel. Daniel, Hosea, and then Joel. Hosea chapter 14. I want to read to you tonight. This little small chapter, only 9 verses in this chapter. Hosea chapter 14, and I want to read to you verse 1 down through verse 9. And I thank the Lord this past week that God blessed us with the great revival, amen. And I appreciate the man of God coming in and preaching to us the Word of God. I like it when the man of God preaches the Word of God, amen. And I like it when the Word of God is felt in our heart and felt in our lives. And thinking about that, I want to stop and think about, you know, here it is the week after now, and the evangelist is gone, the singers are gone, and he said, "Brother Tim, how do we know we had true revival? How do we know that God really got a hold of our heart and God really got a hold of our life?" Well, tonight I want to just share with you a few thoughts on how to tell that you've had a revival after the evangelist has gone, amen. After the evangelist leaves, how do you know, without a doubt, that you've had true Holy Ghost heaven sent revival, amen? With your Bibles open here to the book of Hosea, chapter 14, I want to read to you verse 1 down through verse 9. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands. You are our God, for in thee the fatherless find mercy. Verse 4 says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from my... What a great verse. I will heal their backsliding. That's a promise by God. I will love them freely. For mine anger... And by the way, God does get angry at our sins. He says, my anger is turned away from from him. Verse 5 says, I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. Verse 7 says, they that dwell under his shadow shall return, and they shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? Boy, isn't that something? Ephraim is going to be so turned away, from his idols. He said, I don't want to have those idols anymore. I want to get back to loving and serving the true and living God. What have I to do anymore with idols? I've heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Boy, that's a tremendous statement. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressor, the lost man, those sinners not saved by the grace of God, the transgressor shall fall therein. You know, thinking back over this past week, you know, let me just say again tonight that God has blessed and he's moved in a great and a mighty way. Amen. I thank God this past week we've seen souls stirred by the grace of God. We've seen souls saved by the grace of God. We've seen saints of God strengthened. Amen. And we've seen hearts revived. And even though the meeting, it was a great one, I thank God for the wonderful singing. I thank God for the wonderful preaching. You know, you say, Brother Tim, how can a church tell that we've had true, genuine revival after the evangelist has gone? I mean, now that Dr. Parker's left, and now he's gone back to Greenville, South Carolina, how do we know that we've had true heaven-sent revival? How can you really tell if you've had that genuine revival? Well, tonight, for just a few moments, I want to share with you an acrostic. The following is an outline right here of an acrostic of the word revival. R-E-V-I-V-A-L. That is, I want to take each one of those letters of the word revival, and I'm going to make another word from it. And so I'm going to give you 7 words tonight that will tell you how you can have revival after the evangelist is gone, how to make sure you are having revival. And it spells out the word revival in itself. So ask yourself tonight, as you think about this, these following 7 things, if they're present in your life, are these things still in my heart tonight? Are these things still relevant in my life tonight? Even though we've had revival this past week, is it really real? He said, but Tim, how can I know if it's really real in my life? Are these things evident right now in my life? Let me say, first of all, if you have revival, if you truly have had revival this past week, there will be number 1, R, stands for repentance. Repentance. Notice what it says there again in verse 7. Bible says, they that dwell of the shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Now notice the scripture declares they shall return. In other words, when true revival hits our life, when true revival hits our church, we shall return to doing the things of God. You see, a lot of folks, they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk, amen. They say they've been revived, and they say that they're ready to serve God, and they say, well, first time I'm going to turn my life around, and I'm going to change my life, and I'm going to start living for God like I should be. They say all that, but come Monday morning, they don't do anything for God. Yeah. You know, come there during the week, you know, they talk the talk on Sunday, but during the week, they go back and talk like everybody else. During the week, they sound and act like everybody else. You say, well, you know, what is true repentance? Repentance, I'm going to give you a definition of repentance. Repentance is a change of heart or a change of mind that leads to a change of action. Amen. In other words, if you're going to repent of your sins, you've got to stop thinking like you're thinking, and you've got to start thinking like God thinks, and you've got to judge yourself in the light of Jesus Christ. You've got to say, Lord, I see my sin now as you see it. And not only do I see that, but I'm going to change my life with it. You see, the only way you ever change your life is first you've got to start changing your mind. You've got to start thinking like God says. You see, a lot of times people, they'll come down on the altar, and they'll pray, and they'll ask God to forgive them their sins, and they'll ask God to have mercy on them, and they'll ask the Lord to cleanse them by the blood and wash their sins away, and God will do those things. But you know what happens? A lot of times they'll get up from the altar, and they'll go back in their life, and they'll keep doing the same thing. You know why they do the same thing? They might have repented down on the outside, but they didn't repent on the inside. They didn't change their mind about it. They kept saying, well, no, that sin is not too bad. That sin is okay. You say, preacher, I try to change my life, and I try to do right, and I ask the Lord to forgive me. Well, when you start thinking about it in the way that God thinks about it, that's when you'll change, amen. We've got to have a change of mind. We got to have a change of thinking, a change of heart that leads us to a change of action. Have you ever had a change of heart concerning some things in life? You see, revival brings repentance toward other people. Have you forgiven others that have wronged you? I mean, there are some people, no doubt, that have hurt you. No, there's no some people, no doubt, that have stabbed you in the back, so to say. I mean, they've taken advantage of you. They've done you wrong in every way possible. I wonder this evening, have you forgiven them? Have you asked the Lord to cleanse your heart of that animosity in your soul? You see, revival brings repentance toward others. But also revival brings repentance toward our duties. Have you changed your mind tonight concerning being faithful to your duties in church? Have you changed your mind tonight being faithful to duties as a saint of God, as a Christian, maybe in your home? Maybe you need to change your mind about the kind of husband you are or the kind of wife you are. Maybe you need to change your mind about the kind of a son or daughter you are. You know, have you changed your mind about the way you live your life toward those around about you? So, revival brings repentance toward others. Revival brings repentance toward duties. But also, revival brings repentance toward the Lord. I wonder this evening, is your heart clean before God? I mean, only you and God know this. But is your heart clean before God? You know that you've had true revival when repentance is in your life. But then, notice letter E. R stands for revival. Letter E stands for edification. Edification. Notice what it says here in verse number 5. Verse 5 says, I will be as the dew unto Israel. Notice the words, as the dew. As the dew is to the corn, as the dew is to the grass, so is revival to the church. You see, as the dew moistens, and as the dew strengthens the field, likewise the blessed Holy Spirit comes in our life during revival time, and He moistens us. He softens us, amen. Not only does He moisten us and soften us, but thank God, He strengthens us. He grounds the saint of God. He encourages our heart. And if revival comes, there will be a building up of the Christian in the faith. You see, if revival really comes, that dew of heaven will fall down upon us, and we'll be a little sweeter, amen. We'll be a little kinder. We'll be a little nicer. I wonder, has the Holy Spirit moistened your heart this past week? Has he got you to a point that maybe you're more tender in your speech? Maybe you're more tender in your attitude, and you're not as cold and critical maybe as you used to be? Has He moistened your heart? Has He strengthened your heart in the things of God? You see, if so, He'll fill every service with His presence. If He's really moistening your heart, when you come to the house of God, you'll feel Him, amen, in the house of God. I mean, when all the saints of God get together, they start singing praises unto God, and they start hearing the preaching of the Word of God, it'll bless their heart, amen. It'll moisten their heart. He fills every service with His presence. His power will warm every Christian that will yield to Him, amen. And He'll furnish a conviction to the saint, but also He'll furnish a conviction to the sinner. If you have revival, there will be edification. There will be repentance. But also, number three, the letter V, there will be vision. There will be visions. Notice what it says here again in verse 8. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Now notice Ephraim right here. Ephraim was a wicked people. Ephraim here is the name of a people, not the name of one particular man. Yes, it was the name of a man, but his descendants, his people, are now identified as Ephraim. And the Bible says that Ephraim, this nation, this group of people, they said, I have observed him. You see, Ephraim was a wicked people. They were away from God. They did not love the Lord Jesus Christ like they should love the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephraim himself was the son of Joseph. Joseph had two sons, Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh. And Ephraim was one that didn't serve the Lord like he should. He went out and he began to serve idols. He went out and he began to serve everybody else but the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God, God got a hold of his life. Amen. God got a hold of the people's life. And when God got a hold of people's life, things begin to change. Things begin to pick up. Amen. And once he took his eyes off the idols of the world and looked toward heaven, his vision became clearer. His sight became clear, amen. And by the way, when we have true revival, you know, we'll be like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, and that we see Jesus high and lifted up, amen. Take your Bible and jump back there with me to Isaiah. I want to show you this real quick. Isaiah chapter 6 and Isaiah chapter 6. Let me read to you right here, verse 1 down through verse 8. Isaiah got his eyes off the world. You see, Isaiah had gone through some hard times. Isaiah had seen his family members and his loved ones and his neighbors all die off. And Isaiah was sitting there and he was feeling sorry for himself. I mean, he sat there and thought, well, you know, here my loved ones, they passed on. Why don't I just go ahead and die? Matter of fact, notice what it says there in verse 1, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, you see, Isaiah no doubt was close to King Uzziah. Isaiah prophesied to him, he preached to him, he loved him in a special way. But you know, sometimes it takes folks to die before we ever wake up for God. Because sometimes, I'm not saying this every time, and hear me when I say this. I'm not saying every time, but sometimes some people, they have to have their heart broken before they serve God. Because what happens, many times we got our eyes on people, and we don't have our eyes on God. And sometimes God has to take that person away to get us to really focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah was in that same area. He was in that same boat in the life, so to say. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, notice here Isaiah says, woe is me. Isaiah saw all that glory. He saw all of that beauty. And Isaiah looked at himself and he said, I know I'm not what I need to be. I know what I'm not what I should be. Remember now, Isaiah's a man of God. Isaiah's a prophet of God. And when Isaiah saw all that glory, Isaiah realized real quickly he wasn't where he should have been for the honor, for the glory of God. He says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thine lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Notice, once he got his life clean, once he got his heart right with the Lord, then he was able to say, then Lord, you can send me. I'm ready now, Father, to serve you. Notice there in verse 1 down through verse 4, notice he observed the Lord. And verse 5, then after he observed the Lord, then he saw himself. You see, before we ever really get ourselves right with God, we got to see who God is. Amen. We got to see what righteousness is all about. You know why people have a hard time coming to church? because they don't want to really take their eyes off themselves or take their eyes off the world. They don't want to put their eyes on Jesus Christ. When you start putting your eyes on Jesus Christ, you begin to realize just how low and sorry we are, amen. We begin to realize just what kind of a dirty old sinner we really are in our lives. And that's why we come to church and realize our need of the Savior. I need my Lord every day. I need my Savior every day, amen. And notice when he got his eyes off himself, when he got rid of his own little pity party right here, and he began to observe the Lord, then he saw himself. He said there in verse 5, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a nobody. I'm in need of the Lord leading my life and guiding me. And then notice there in verse 6 down through verse 8, he got a vision of others. Notice he began to worry about those that need a salvation. Notice he said there in verse number 8, he says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. You see, he wasn't ready for that in verse 1. Matter of fact, he wasn't ready for that in verse 5. But when he got his eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he began to get a vision for other people. You know how many times we don't have a burden for others? Because we don't have our eyes on Jesus. Oh, we don't have to say anything out loud, but our actions tell that. Our lives tell that, amen. When you start getting your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll start having a burden for other people. You'll start having a vision to see family members getting saved, lost loved ones getting saved. And the reason that people do not have a burden or do not have a vision for others is because, to be honest with you, they have no vision for Jesus Christ. They don't have their eyes on the Savior. So I ask you this evening, what are you focusing on tonight? What are you observing tonight in your heart and your life? Is it spiritual things or is it carnal things? If you really are ready to have revival, matter of fact, if you really had revival this past week, there will be visions. But notice our next letter, the letter I. There will be increase. There will be increase. Jump back with me again to Hosea. Hosea chapter 14. Notice what it says there again in verse 8. Hosea chapter 14 and verse 8, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do with him or with idols? I've heard him and observed him. Now, as soon as he looked toward Christ, the Bible says the Lord blessed him with an increase of fruit. Revival will always bring a harvest. Matter of fact, he goes on to say in verse 8, I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Harvest begin to come to Ephraim, amen. You see, if real revival took place this past week, then this church tonight will increase in nutrition and an increase in addition. When I say an increase in nutrition, I'm talking about spiritual growth. We'll begin to grow spiritually. We'll grow on the inside, amen. We'll not only grow with nutrition, but we'll also grow with addition. In other words, there'll be physical growth. There'll be numbers added to the house of God, amen. Matter of fact, I think about that. John said in John 3, verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. You see, Jesus will increase in the church if we decrease in ourselves. Is there fruit found in your life this evening? True revival brings increase. The next letter, letter V again, true revival also brings victories. Victories. Notice there again in verse 7, they that dwell in the shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. You see, when Israel placed her faith back in the Lord God, then the Bible says she enjoyed victories as before. The Bible says here that Israel began to grow. Why did she begin to grow? Because she trusted in God and not in herself. And the only way tonight, you hear me when I say this, the only way tonight that sweet victory ever sweep your soul is to fully trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not about you, it's all about Him. Amen. It's not about me, it's all about Christ. Amen. Revival brings victories over doubt. Revival brings victory over fear and self and the world. Thank God it brings victory over the devil. Amen. What does it say there in 1 John chapter 5? Let me turn there real quick. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5, 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5, 4. Isn't it good to know tonight that, you know, no matter what troubles or trials come my way, my faith in Jesus Christ will give me victory. Amen. My faith in Christ alone will help me overcome any troubles, any trials, any tribulations in my life. Thinking about that, the Bible also says back in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, another great, great verse in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do I have victory? through Jesus and Him alone. It's not about you, not about me. It's all about Him. Victory through faith and victory through Christ. I wonder this evening, is there victory in your life tonight? Or are you still struggling over the things of this old world? Are you still wondering, how am I going to get through this and how am I going to get through that? V stands for victory. Revival brings victories, but also revival brings the letter A, awakening. Awakening. Notice what it says again with me back in Hosea. Hosea chapter 14. Jump back up to verse 4. Hosea chapter 14 again, a main text in verse 4. It brings awakening. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from high. The Bible says, I will heal their backsliding. You see, revival always awakens the Christian to the sins that permeates their heart, that permeates their mind. I love what it says. I know I've got you turning to several scriptures, but let me show you this tonight. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, and Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11, it talks here about a spiritual awakening, amen. And I want to ask you tonight, has there been a spiritual awakening in your soul tonight? The Bible says in Romans 13 and verse 11, and that knowing the time, and by the way, if you don't know what time it is in this old world, you're in trouble, amen. I got news for you, we're living in the last days. We're living in the end times, amen. And Paul says, knowing the time, knowing that we're about to go up in this old world, knowing that Christ will come back at any moment in time, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. You see, we can be taken out of here at any moment in time. And knowing that Christ will come back at any moment in time, he says, we need to wake up, amen. There's a lot of Christians out there asleep on God. A lot of Christians are not, oh, they're saved by the grace of God, and yes, they're going to heaven, but they're just as asleep on God as they can be spiritually. Bible says in verse number 12 of Romans 13, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You see, we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, as you got up this morning and put your clothes on, you're to do that always, every day with the Lord, amen. You're to make sure that you're clothed in Christ Jesus. You're clothed in His strength. You're clothed in His holiness. You're clothed in His humility. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. Don't let the flesh be glorified. Don't let the flesh be fulfilled and the lust, the Bible says, fulfill the lust thereof. Don't let the pleasure of this old world fulfill your flesh. Because I got news for it. The Lord will give you more joy than this world can give you joy, amen. God can bless your heart a whole lot better than this world can bless your heart. So would to God tonight that Christians, we'd awaken out of that sleep of laziness, amen. We'd awaken out of that sleep of unconcern and serve a holy and living God. Do we understand that we're living in the last days? Folks, Holy Ghost, heaven-sent revival will cause an awakening among God's people. And then finally, true revival, true genuine revival, will bring the letter L, love. Love. Bible says again in Hosea 14 and verse 4, He says, I will love them freely. If you have revival in your heart right now, then you'll have a love in your heart. You'll have your love in your eyes for those not about you. You won't have animosity toward a brother or sister in Christ. Somebody may have hurt you. Somebody may have wronged you. But you know that you've forgiven them. And even though they might not have asked for it, even though they might go off and still act the way they act, you're going to make sure that you have the right spirit in your heart. And you're going to make sure you have the right attitude in your life, amen. You see, you'll have a love for the family. You know, I've got a lot of family tonight. I know they're lost. I know tonight if they were to die, I know, sad to say, they wouldn't die and go to heaven. They'd die without Jesus Christ. There was a story told about a godly mother and her heart. It says, once a very poor little girl from a small town, she went to the big city to earn some money. She wanted to support her old mother, and soon after arrival, she realized that an attractive girl can earn more money without working than by honest work. And so recognizing her own assets, notice knowing how beautiful she was and how pretty she was, she became all too successful for the wrong reasons. And she pleased men, and she soon had the money by pleasing men. She soon had the jewels, and she had the life of reverie, and she enjoyed herself in the big town. And her mother was soon forgotten. What does a mother count when one dances the popular tunes? And what does a mother count when she sits there and get all the money she wants and have her good time out on the town and never have to worry about anybody else but herself? Well, years passed by. And one day she was stricken with remorse in her heart. And she began to ask herself, I wonder how my mom's doing. And she began to realize I neglected her completely. She took the first train to her village, arriving late at night. To her amazement, she found the gate of her house wide open. And she knew her mother was always careful to lock it at night time. And then she saw a light burning in the window of her mother's bedroom. A lamp burning so late, she was thinking, what in the world is going on? Surely something's the matter because, you know, my mother would never burn a lamp this late at night. And mother's usually, she's already in bed real early. I don't know why that lamp's burning. She thought, well, she might be sick. And when she crossed the threshold of her house, going back to that door, she heard her mother's voice. And her mother cried out, Joan, is that you? Yes, mother, she replied. But how is it, mother, that the gate is wide open so late at night? And she said, Joan, since you left, the gate's not been closed. Well, why is the light burning so late, mama? Why aren't you asleep? And she said, since you left, honey, it's never been extinguished. I love the mother's heart waited and waited and waited for you. Let me say tonight, you can be sure when you desire to knock at the gate of heaven, thank God it will open up for you, amen. I'm thankful now that God opens that, He opens heaven's gates for anybody. And I wonder this evening, do you have a burden for your loved ones? Do you have a burden to see your family members get saved by the grace of God? You see, if true revival did come your way, there will be a love for family. There will be a love for lost people. You say, but Tim, but there's a lot of folks out there I don't really care about. I got news for you. If you're really stirred up in your heart, if revival has really hit your soul, God give you a burning desire to see souls saved by the grace of God. You'll have a love most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask you this evening when I look at verse 4, where it says, I will love them freely. Do you love freely as you should? Do you love people that is unlovable? Do you have a burden to see people saved by the grace of God? If true revival came to your heart this past week, I've got news for you. You will have a love in your heart. What kind of love do you have this evening? Let's bow in prayer. With every head bowed, every eye closed.